Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy. We're going to finish the chapter today, text 52 through 55. So we'll chant 52 together. Sangopangam Saparsadam Tam Tam Murtim Samantrata Padyargyam Chamani Yajyai Snana Vaso Vibhushanai Sangopangam Saparsadam Tam Tam Murtim Samantrata Padyarajya Chamani Yajyai Snana Vaso Vibhushanai Please chant. Parsadam Tam Tam Murtim Samantrata Padyagyachamani Yajyai Snana Vasa Vibhushanai Sangopangam Saparsadam Pangam Murtim Samantrata We can just chant together the next verse and then I'll read the translation, a short purport, and we'll do that for each of the verses until we reach the end of the chapter. So together, Gandhamalakshata Sagbir Dupradipo Pahapathai Sangam Sampuja Sarai Sutra. Translation. One should worship the deity along with each of the limbs of his transcendental body, his weapons such as the Sudarshan Chakra, his other bodily features, and his personal associates. One should worship each of these transcendental aspects of the Lord by its own mantra and with offerings of water to wash the feet, scented water, water to wash the mouth, water for bathing, fine clothing and ornaments, fragrant oils, valuable necklaces, unbroken barley corns, flower garlands, incense, and lamps. Having thus completed the worship in all of its aspects in accordance with the prescribed regulations, one should then honor the deity of Lord Hari with prayers and offer obeisances to him by bowing down. Purport. Sridhar Swami has mentioned that akshata, or unbroken barley corns, mentioned in verse 53, are to be used in decorating the deity with tilak and not in the actual puja. Nakshatayar archayed vishnum na ketakya maheshvaram. Lord Vishnu should not be worshipped with unbroken barley corns, and Lord Shiva should not be worshipped with ketaki flowers. So together, text 54. Atmanam tamaya jayan murtim shesham ajaya shirasa swadanya. Translation. The worshipper should become fully absorbed in meditating upon himself as an eternal servant of the Lord and should thus perfectly worship the deity, remembering that the deity is also situated within his heart. Then he should take the remnants of the deity's paraphernalia, such as flower garlands, upon his head and respectfully put the deity back in his own place, thus concluding the worship. Purport. The word tanmayam in this verse is significant. One who is purified by worshiping the deity form of the Lord can understand that he, the worshiper, is an eternal servant of the Lord and is qualitatively one with the Lord, being like a tiny spark of the original fire, the personality of Godhead. Srila Madhvacharya has stated in this regard, Vishnor Brityoham iti eva sudashyad bhagavan maya naivaham vishnum asmiti vishnum saveshvaro hija. One should think, I am an eternal servant of Vishnu, and therefore, because I am his eternal part and parcel, I am eternally one with him. But I am not Vishnu himself, because Vishnu is the supreme controller of everything. The basic principle of deity worship is that one must understand oneself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. One who is addicted to sense gratification, foolishly identifying himself with the external material body, cannot change his conception of life, his conception of himself, from that of an enjoyer to that of the enjoyed. Such a person interprets the word tanmayam to mean that the worshipper is himself also worshipable, the worshipable object. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has written in his Durga Sangamani, his commentary on Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhu's Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu, that ahangroha pasana, or the process of worshipping oneself as the Supreme, is a gross misidentification of one's own self with the Supreme, who is actually one's eternal shelter. The six Goswamis have repeatedly clarified this point, but unintelligent persons within the Prakritiya Sahajya community become influenced by the bogus idea of the Mayavadi philosophers and thus display the deluded misconception that the worshipper becomes the supreme shelter. Such a hallucination is an aparad, an offense against the Lord. Therefore, the word tanmaya in this verse should not be offensively understood to mean that the worshiper becomes equal to his eternal worshipable object. Text in the chapter, text 55, evam agni yatha tarja atitao hadaye chaya yatsvaram atmanam jiran uchite hisa. Thus, the worshiper of the Supreme Lord should recognize that the personality of Godhead is all-pervading and should worship him through his presence in fire, the sun, water, and other elements. In the heart of the guest one receives in one's home and also in one's own heart. In this way, the worshiper will very soon achieve liberation. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 3rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Liberation from the Illusory Energy. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshirin Yutam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. So here, instruction on worshipping the deity as a means of attaining liberation from the illusory energy. So we're going to examine a little bit today our deity worship, how we benefit from that, offenses that we need to avoid, and why should we avoid them. Like that. So if we think about the Sunday feast, say the Sunday feast just after the lecture, after the kirtan is finished, the lecture is finished, and then many people stay in the temple room to take darshan of the deities. Now that's probably one of the most diverse times in terms of deity worship and deity darshan that exists at the temple here. Because if you think about what's going on, all the things that are going on at that time, it's quite amazing, and we can get some understanding why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's probably the only one that can reciprocate with everything that's going on at that time. I mean, just think about it. We have persons that are newcomers that are coming to the temple for the first time, and they see some... Of course, many devotees testified that even when they came the first time, they didn't even see any people up there on the altar. They just saw the flowers and the decorations, were overwhelmed by it. They didn't even recognize that a deity was there. But given that some people may recognize that, newcomers will understand that, well, some ritual is going on here. This is the rituals that they do. Waving some incense or lamps and etc. Having no idea what those rituals mean, or that they even carry any meaning, and they're not just and thinking that they're just something that they do in Hinduism or in the Hare Krishna movement or something, without any real meaning, just some ancient tradition handed down. So some people may be thinking like that. Other people may be thinking that, let me pray to the deity to get some material object that I need, or to be relieved from some material circumstance. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explains how certain class of people come when they're in need of money or some material thing, or they're in a distressed condition. So people may be standing and praying to the deity, Radhasham Sundar, in that way, thinking that, yes, well, something is going to come of this. There's something real here. But what that reality is a way to receive relief from the distress that I'm in materially, or to improve my material circumstances. Sometimes people may come and think that, well, I need something. I need help to either pass my examination, to get a job, or to receive some other material benefit. So that type of reciprocation is going on with Radhasham Sundar, Sri Sri Gaurantai, and Sri Sri Krishna Balaram at that time in the Sunday feast. And then there are those that are in a more transcendental category who may be thinking, how our deity worship in the Hare Krishna movement can help in the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and benedict people in that way. Others may be thinking in terms of, and especially when we get into this realm, the transcendental realm, I'm not making any distinctions between the levels of devotion that are being exhibited by the devotees, but just that people may be devotees may be thinking in different ways. Well, how can the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be furthered through gorgeous deity worship? Others may be, other devotees may be thinking, oh, I just want to please Radhasham Sundar by offering a glorification and prayers. I might just want to please the Lord by making the bhoga offering on the altar. In other words, thinking just simply to offer some humble service to the to their lordships. So all this kind of reciprocation with the deity goes on simultaneously at that time, and any time during the week we can find one or more of these types of approaches to the Supreme Lord going on. So, which is the best of that, the approaches to the Lord, is what we should try to focus on. So what is the best type of an approach to the Lord? Does anybody want to say? Janmasthami? One word or so, we'll have comments later. How can I please you the most? Okay. Any other ideas? I guess you're all devotees. Yes?
Shika Prabhu told me to memorize, and it says, I don't know it exactly, but it says, I know the gist of it. It says, my dear Lord, in this mature world, everyone's engrossed in material sense gratification, and I surrender unto you, and I have full faith that you will do the right thing by me. He says, as the Father directs the Son, and he says, please direct me knowing what's best for me. That's 420.
Selfless prayer to the Lord. That's in line with the purport that we read here today about how thinking one should think oneself, the purpose of deity worship is to think oneself an eternal servant of the Lord. So, yeah, that's a pretty good prayer. Actually, if we understand our deity worship given to us by Srila Prabhupada and our parampara, then we can sort of reconcile all of these different approaches to the Lord and get a correct understanding of what is the best way to approach the Lord. So we follow, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaudiya Sampradaya, we follow a two-track process. Does anybody know what those two tracks are? Yes. Say it loud. Pancharatrikavidhi and Bhagavatvidhi, yes. These two tracks are given. And so let's hear a little bit from Srila Prabhupada, from a letter he wrote to Hansadutta Prabhu in 1970. He talks about these things. He says, we have to make our steady progress, keeping both sides in balance. Let me start a little earlier in the letter. Now work with great enthusiasm and ask Himavati to take care of the deities very, very nicely. Both of you have seen in LA how much they are careful about deity worship. We have to make our steady progress, keeping both sides in balance, namely Pancharatrikavidhi and Bhagavatvidhi. The Pancharatrikavidhi is archana, or temple worship, and the Bhagavatvidhi is to preach by chanting and distributing literature. Although chanting is quite sufficient to cover all the vidhis, still, to keep ourselves pure and sanctified, we must observe the rules and regulations of Pancharatrikavidhi. At one point in the history of ISKCON, the devotees were going on Harinam Sankirtan on the streets all day, and they'd come back to the temple, and they'd go all night out on the streets chanting. But then Prabhupada began to notice some anarthas creeping into the society, and so he established the morning program, basically rising from Mangala Arati, and then chanting japa, and then having class in Srimad Bhagavatam, which all sort of focus around the temple and the deity. And so Bhagavatvidhi was going on, but to keep ourselves balanced here, Prabhupada says, we need both Bhagavatvidhi and Pancharatrikavidhi. And so there are many instructions like this that Srila Prabhupada has given. Particularly, these letters are around 1970. He says in a letter to Gurudas, the temple worship will keep us sanctified, and when we shall preach in sanctified pure heart, the preaching will be immediately effective. To Satsarupa in 1970 again. So the temple worship is necessary for the beginners, so that by following the regulative principles, such devotees can become more and more purified and thus gradually come to the platform to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. To Damodar, 1970. I'm glad to learn that you are continuing your Maha Sankirtan. That is very nice. This is our main business. Temple worship is not so important as Sankirtan on the public roads and selling our literatures. Your class schedule is also very nice. And so for us, the temple worship, the deity worship, is meant to go along with our preaching activities. One can't be successful without the other. So we should see it like this. I mean, there is a tendency to, because of our contaminated background, our poor advancement in spiritual life, let's say there may be a tendency to emphasize one over the other. But if you're going down a train track and one rail is a little higher than the other, what's going to happen? The train's going to come off the track. And so these two things must go together. Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi, then we'll be fulfilling Prabhupada's desire to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So, in the process of deity worship for the Pancharatrika side, we find many instructions. Now this is, I have this book, Pancharatra Pradeep, and I would like to consider myself the biggest distributor worldwide of this book, because I do a lot of immigration work, and we send a copy of this book, or sections of this book, with all of our applications, to give them some idea of the bona fide nature of the religious activities we perform. Because any of those immigration officers that might come in this temple, they're going to be the ones seeing some rituals going on. They're going to think, okay, they're doing rituals, therefore it's a bona fide religion. So we distribute a lot of the sections from this book. But it has a lot of instructions. But there's a new one coming out now, The Method of Deity Worship, which is a more developed one. But this Pancharatra Pradeep was published several years ago. By the GBC Deity Worship Research Group. And it talks also about Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi. Indeed, it references this very 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, but a later chapter, chapter 27. In the introduction it says, Lord Krishna summarizes the process of deity worship in chapter 27 of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that such a description of Pancharatrika Vidhi appears in the Bhagavatam indicates that Bhagavat Vidhi complements Pancharatrika Vidhi. So this reference is that because it's there in Srimad Bhagavatam, the indication of these two tracks is confirmed by Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in discussing the verses from the 27th chapter, there's a section here that describes the results of worshiping the deity, the Archana Phala. So I thought I'd read over some of these things, which are all referenced to letters from Srila Prabhupada, about the benefits or the results that are there for us in our worshiping the deity on this two-tracked method. So the first benefit is archanicity. If one attains perfection in deity worship, that is called archanicity. Archanicity means simply by deity worship, one goes back to Godhead immediately after this life. That's what Prabhupada wrote in 1969 in a letter. So that's the perfection. And we heard about that perfection in the purport that we read today, the perfection being that one understands oneself to be the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Engagement in deity worship can result in that perfection. One thing about deity worship, and devotees like Mother Nittai prove that to us, it's very absorbing. It can take all of your time. It's probably one of the biggest transcendental headaches that any temple president has, is to make sure that all the offerings, dressings, artiks, cleaning, and everything is done nicely in the deity worship. Actually, you'll find, at least in our GBC discussions, we find that when the consciousness of a temple starts to dip, where is it first manifest? It's first manifest in the deity worship, struggling to maintain the deity worship. Even some temples have had to cut back offerings and artis, because there are a lot of reasons. some good reasons, some bad reasons. But it first starts to manifest in a deity worship. So if we keep the consciousness high, then the deity worship can be high. And I think for all of us, we need to think very seriously about this, because how will the deity worship go on in the future? We installed Srishi Radha Shyamasundara here in the year 2000. So 16 years now. 2010, we installed Srishi Krishna Balaram. So 16 and 10 years, respectively. 10 years from now, do we have some idea? Do we have some plan how the deity worship is going to continue at this level and be manifest 10 years from now? Have we thought about that? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years? We haven't crossed the 50-year anniversary of any deities installed in ISKCON yet. But it's coming. How are we going to maintain it? We need to think about these things. So anyway, arching the city is one of the results. Thinking oneself an eternal servant. And one can go back to God immediately after this life by engaging in the process of deity worship. Developing love for Krishna, love of Krishna. So Prabhupada says in a letter, 1970, "So if you carry on your service to Radha and Krishna according to the prescribed rules, your love of Krishna will increase more and more. This you will see practically by the grace of Krishna. We are following the prescribed method of temple worship as it is the effective program for developing the highest perfection of pure love of Krishna." Deity worship can give you pure love of Krishna. Peace and enthusiasm. The deity must be worshipped nicely, dressed, fed, etc. In doing so, you will always be peaceful and enlivened. Anybody feeling a little depressed in their devotional service? Engage in some deity worship and you will always be peaceful and enlivened. Proof of sincere service. Sometimes we doubt, am I sincere? Am I a sincere devotee? What's the proof? The deity is proof of the sincere service. A letter from Srila Prabhupada in 1975. Living in Vaikuntha. So we already are in Vaikuntha by participating in the temple activities. Letter 1974. Maintaining purity in health, mind, and intelligence. By worshiping the deity, we can be so pure in condition of health and mind and intelligence. By worshiping the deity. Bringing yavanas and malechas to spiritual life. Preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement have actually experienced that even the yavanas and malechas have taken to spiritual life on the strength of Narada Muni's Pancharatriki Vidhi. When mankind follows the disciplic succession, as recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone throughout the world will benefit. That's from Bhagavatam purport. Speaking of yavanas and malechas, someone was saying last night that Donald Trump's children went to the temple in New Vrindavan or something and got some tilak put on their head. So yavanas and malechas can also get the mercy of the deity. Let's see, any more benefits? Touching the deity, one gets a spiritual body. Archana Padati, daily worship of the deity, provides an opportunity to touch the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus it enables one to be fortunate enough to get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. Not only by touching the body of the Supreme Lord, but simply by Hearing about his pastimes, chanting his glories, touching his feet, and offering worship. In other words, by serving the Lord somehow or other, one is purified of material contamination. This is the result of touching the Supreme Lord. So there are many wonderful benefits that come from worshiping the deity. There are also some things that we need to avoid. And so I just want to cover something in that regard. Seva aparads, and why we should avoid these offenses. When I first read, and maybe everyone had the same experience reading Nectar of Devotion, where it lists all these offenses, it's kind of hard to understand why they're offensive, but it's laid out nicely in this book why they're offenses. There are offenses due to lack of purity in body and mind. One should not enter the temple without having washed one's hands and feet. One should not fail to wash his teeth very carefully every day. Now, those, especially something like that, I was wondering, why is that there? Because it's an offense due to lack of purity of body and mind. We have to be pure in our body and mind in worshiping the deity. So if we don't carefully clean our teeth every day, it's offensive due to that lack of purity. One should not touch the deity before having completed taking a bath. So that's one area in which we need to avoid offenses. Another area is offenses due to lack of respect. So there's lack of purity of body and mind, but then there's a lack of respect. One should not belch before the deity. It's poor etiquette. It's a lack of respect. You know, one should not sit before the deity holding the ankles, elbows, and knees with one's hands. Again, that's another one. Why? But because it's not showing proper respect for the Lord. One should not circumambulate in front of Sri Krishna. The process of circumambulating the temple is that one should begin circumambulating from the deity's right-hand side of the temple and come around. Such circumambulation should be performed outside the temple structure at least 3 times daily. So we have to show proper respect by doing that. Offenses due to lack of endeavor. One should not fail to worship deity according to one's means. So we have Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that the Lord is satisfied if some devotee offers him even a leaf or a little water. This formula prescribed by the Lord is universally applicable even for the poorest man. But that does not mean one who has sufficient means to worship the Lord very nicely should also adopt a method and try to satisfy the Lord simply by offering water or a leaf. Offenses due to lack of endeavor. We shouldn't take advantage. You know, this could almost like taking advantage. Rather than endeavoring to do the best you can, you just do the minimal. I think we can understand why that's offensive if we think in terms of offenses due to a lack of endeavor. Useless flowers without any fragrance should not be offered. That's a tough one in Kali Yuga because not many flowers have fragrance. One should not offer a flower which has been kept in an unclean pot. Okay, again, our endeavor, how much are we going to endeavor? Offenses due to lack of faith. One should not eat anything which is not first offered to Krishna. One should not introduce any opposing scripture. And ISKCON Srila Prabhupada's books are the final authoritative scriptures. If evidence is taken from any other scripture, it should only be introduced as supportive evidence for the teachings of the founder acharya of ISKCON Srila Prabhupada. So I think that this book, at least for me, it's helped make clear why some of the things that we find in the Nectar of Devotion are described as offenses to the Lord, because they relate to things like lack of faith, lack of endeavor, lack of proper respect. So we need to avoid these offenses if we want the perfection of our deity worship and our preaching mission. So does anybody have any questions or comments about this subject matter? Yes, come on. Could you please explain the deity worship at home? What are these? I heard that standards are slightly flexible.
Well, that's a whole seminar about instructing deity worship at home. But I mean, generally speaking, the worship in the home is less rigid in terms of standards than we find in the temple here. It's like the Lord is more. This is His home. The temple. That's our home. That's at least that's what how we're thinking. And so here, what he wants should go there in the home, like what the Lord is accommodating to what other things need to go on in the home. So therefore the standards are relaxed. But if we take this idea of offenses due to lack of endeavor and think, oh, it doesn't matter. I can do anything, it's home worship. And that's not good mentality, and it could be offensive. But that's deity worship at home as a whole other thing. Anybody else have to add questions? We're going to do our Srimad Bhagavatam.